Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we have an impression that Christianity is often a set of do's and don'ts. Especially the Catholic Church is full of prescriptions and prohibitions. In such a way, it makes the life of people a burden, unbearable burden. The Christian message is often considered as a set of prohibitions. But in fact, the message of Jesus is called gospel, good news. A news that brings joy to the entire humanity. In fact, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angels appeared to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their sheep and sang this song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Glory to God and peace to people. And this message is a message of great joy. That's what they announced to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah." So even at the very birth of the Messiah, the angels are announcing a good news that brings joy. Christianity is a message of joy. It's not a set of prescriptions and prohibitions. Very often, it's only apparent that these regulations are so severe and strict. They are given in order to make the life full of happiness. In fact, Jesus started announcing the good news before he called to repentance and conversion. He was announcing the gratuitous gift of God's love, the presence of the kingdom of God. That's what he started telling the people. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here at the door. It is knocking at your door, the door of your heart. Open your eyes, open your heart, receive the good news. That was the beginning. And the entire message of Jesus is presented as good news. That's what Matthew does in the Sermon on the Mount. We have seen something about the Sermon on the Mount, how Matthew presents the teaching of Jesus in various sermons, especially five sermons. And the first of these sermons is called the Sermon on the Mount. And the very sermon is presented as a message of good news. It starts with the Beatitudes. Happy the man, blessed. So the Beatitudes, that's what we are going to study in detail in these reflections. Both Matthew and Luke present us with a list of Beatitudes as a prefix to the sermon. In Luke, the Sermon on the Plain, and in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mountain. Both the evangelists give us a list of Beatitudes, but there is a difference in the list. In Luke, we have four blessings, Beatitudes, and this opposed to it, there are four woes. Blessed, or happy the man, or woe to you. The four Beatitudes paralleled by four woes, contrary to that Beatitudes. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have another list, a list that is presented as three units. You have a unit of four Beatitudes each, four plus four. There's a two strophe of four each, and then a second of conclusion or a climax as the ninth Beatitude. The Beatitudes as such is not commandments. It is a statement of jubilation. It is an exclamation. It's a surprise of joy, an outburst of happiness, calling a person, calling a community blessed, happy. How happy is your situation? And reasons also is given. Why is it happy? If you take all these beatitudes together, you can see these are the various qualities of a disciple. Both in Matthew and in Luke, Jesus is addressing his disciples. In Matthew, it is said, when he saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples gathered around him. In the Gospel of Luke, it is said, Jesus came down to the plain with the disciples, and there was a big crowd around him, but raising his eyes towards the disciples, he told them, "Blessed are you who are poor." So the disciples are addressed, and all these various beatitudes somehow present the various qualities, various aspects of discipleship. And the promises given to them, the reason of their happiness is presented as the kingdom of God. The various promises given are the various aspects of the kingdom of God. It becomes very clear in the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, the first beatitude is presented like this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the eighth beatitude that concludes the list, we have this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's a kind of inclusion. In the first and the eighth beatitudes, we have the same formula: theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what is this kingdom? How does one experience this kingdom of heaven? That is explained in detail in the body of these eight beatitudes. Luke also has the same: kingdom as joy, kingdom as consolation, kingdom as satisfaction. So when we study the beatitudes, we have to keep this in mind. These are not Jesus is not presenting eight different categories of people and eight different beatitudes, but this is what he promises: the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is explained in various ways. And how does one come to the experience of the kingdom of God? Who is he, or who is the one who receives the kingdom? The one who receives, one who accepts the kingdom, these are the qualities. And we have to see in detail these beatitudes. First, I'll read from both the Gospels the beatitude, the list of beatitudes, and then we try to analyze in detail each beatitude. First, from the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew we have from in chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. "Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These are the beatitudes presented in the Gospel of Matthew. A similar but shorter list we see in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. "Then he looked up at his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. So these are the two lists of beatitudes. As a preliminary remark, it's good to note that these beatitudes somehow stand contrary to the normal understanding of people. Somehow Jesus is reversing the normal understanding, as if putting logic on head, as if challenging and reversing the common attitude towards happiness, towards joy. Is totally contrary to what the world thinks and feels about happiness. When Jesus says, happy are the poor, the world would say, happy are the rich. The rich, the mighty, the powerful, those who love, those who have full, they are the happy ones. So here, Jesus is challenging and reversing the existing order of happiness, of values. So this we have to keep in mind. The moment Jesus entered into this history, he is changing its course. He is changing the values. He is putting everything upside down. He, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and God of Gods, the Almighty Son, the Son of the Almighty God, is born not in a palace, but in a manger. And he died on a cross and was laid in a tomb that belonged to another. So a person who lived and died, a poor man from the beginning to the end, he is the one proclaiming these beatitudes. So in order to understand what Jesus is telling, we have to see also how he lived. Jesus himself is the one blessed. So in order to understand what he tells us, that we are happy ones, that we are blessed, we have to see what he meant, how he lived. So in all these beatitudes, Jesus himself is the model, the example of the one blessed. The blessing is to be seen in and through the life of Jesus Christ. Before he preached, he lived. And before he talked, he walked. So his dealings, his working, his life has to be understood if we want to understand the beatitude Jesus proclaimed. Now we come to the individual beatitudes in detail. The first one is that blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the parallel mark, blessed are you poor, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. First of all, let us see who these poor are. There's a lot of dispute going on among exegetes and Bible scholars and authors on spirituality. The first question is, did Jesus say blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are the poor? And there are reasons for answering in both ways. But the majority of opinion seems to agree that Jesus was telling the people without a qualification. Of course, we have also to keep in mind the fact that Jesus was not speaking Greek. He was speaking Aramaic, and that is based on Hebrew. Now we come to the gospel that is written in Greek. We have the word Tokos. That is the Greek word used. The Greek word used that is translated as poor, ptokos. Ptokos comes from the word ptosein, to bend down. So bend down, the one who stands in front of the other as a bent person. A person who is responsible for others, one who is waiting for the mercy of others. And more, a person who has been oppressed, a person who has been exploited, a person who has been downtrodden, he cannot stand straight. He has lost his backbone. He has lost his independence. A person without dignity, a person without any honor in the society. That is the ptokos. And this is a translation from the Aramaic or the Hebrew words. Could be either Anna or Ani. Ani is a poor. A person who has to depend on others. A person who has no dignity of his own, who has no steady income of his own. It can mean dal, or plural dalim. Dal is a weak, a meager person. A person who doesn't have a comely appearance. A person who does not attract attention. Or ebion, the one who is depending on others. So there are various terms, Hebrew terms, that are being translated with this word tokos. Whether it is Greek or Hebrew, one is clear. The person here mentioned is a person without dignity, a person without resources, a person who doesn't command any respect from others, a person who is marginalized, thrown onto the margin of the society. So such persons are usually considered a curse. They are not blessed, they are cursed. A person without dignity, a person who has no right. And about these people, Jesus is telling they are blessed. They are to be happy. Why are they to be happy? How can they be happy when they are so brutally oppressed and exploited and marginalized? Because Jesus tells God is with them. God is in their favor. Jesus is telling not that their state of poverty or exploitation is a blessedness, but they as persons are blessed because God is with them. God is entering into their history to change, reverse their situation. And in this, Jesus is telling, yours is the kingdom of God. It's not something that is going to happen after you die. It is something that is going to happen here and now. Open your eyes. The kingdom of God is here. God is with you. You are precious before God. God is with you. God protects you. You are a child of God. And in this, Jesus is depending on the prophets as well as in the Psalms. For example, Psalm 34, verse 6, we have, this poor man cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. This was the experience of the poor who cried and who were saved. Psalm 132, verse 15. I'll abundantly bless its provisions. I'll satisfy its poor with bread. God will feed the hungry. God will feed with bread. And this is what the prophets again and again repeated, especially in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 4 and 5. You have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like a heat in the dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. So God comes in favor of the poor, to act, to defend, to liberate them. The same is repeated in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 14 to 17, more powerfully. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands at a distance. For truth stumbles in the public square, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and whoever turns from evil is despoiled. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one and was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm brought him victory and his righteousness upheld him. So God would act in favor of the poor to defend them, defend the oppressed. That was the promise given by the prophets. And now Jesus is telling this God who sent the prophets to prophesy, to promise, is now entering into their history through Jesus Christ. So the very presence of Jesus is the presence of the kingdom. And he can, with confidence, say, yours is the kingdom of God. And that is what gives them happiness. That's what makes them blessed. And let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to bring your rule to this world, to make it a reality where the poor would be satisfied, the hungry would be fed, and every tear will be wiped away. Father, we thank you for allowing us to experience the presence of your liberating power, the presence of your kingdom. As we pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, let us also believe that that kingdom is here, already in our midst, in our hearts, in our society. Enable us to see its presence, believe in his word. Enable us to open our hearts and accept your word. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.